5 o'clock hour. We've been going through a book called Fear Not, and there are some verses that were especially meaningful to me, and so I kind of did some extra study on them over the last week, and want to share some of those thoughts with you. I went to a typical junior high, and we had the typical stereotypes. We had the girl who cried when she got a 99% on a test. A lot of you are familiar with that student. Literally, she cried when she missed one question. We had the athletes. We had the smart kids. We had the thinks that everyone and everything is stupid kid. Everything is awful. Everything is terrible. Also, we had, this is my favorite one, the thinks that he is a ladies' man when really he is not. Okay, so we had one of those. My friend literally thought that every girl in our Christian school liked him, even the seniors. And so one week he decided to ask several of them to be his girlfriend, and he found out that his own thoughts about himself were very wrong because they all responded, ew, gross. Right? And we all have those stereotypes in junior high, senior high. And most of us are not as blatant as my junior high friend was about his vanity and pride. A lot of us kind of try to hide our own views of ourselves, and he was on one extreme end of the spectrum. He really had a high view of himself. He thought more highly than he ought to think. He thought he was superior. But what about the other end of the spectrum? What about the times when we feel inferior, when we really feel like we have an inferiority complex, nobody likes us, everybody hates us, we feel down on ourselves? And God's word does give us some answers to how to overcome some of those thoughts. How can we overcome an inferiority complex? We've all probably had times where we felt like that. We've compared ourselves to other people and found that in our own mind, we've come up short. So just like my friend had to readjust his view of himself, this morning I want you to understand this truth. When you feel inferior, remember that God views you as important. When you feel inferior, remember that God views you as very important. Let's pray, and then we'll jump into some passages of Scripture this morning. Father, we are thankful that you are our Redeemer. We are thankful that you paid so high a price. And Father, we are humbled when we realize the price that our sin did cost an eternal, perfect, holy Savior. And Father, we thank you that he came and took our place on the cross, that he paid the wages of my sin and of all of our sin. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us as we look at your word this morning to understand more of his heart for us, more of your heart for us as our loving Heavenly Father. And Lord, so often we are tempted to fear what others think about us and fear what you think about us. Help us to find some stability in the thoughts that you think towards us this morning. In Christ's name, amen. So this morning, we're going to look briefly at two thoughts that God has towards us. Because we need at times to readjust our view of how we view ourselves. Again, this is a question that I got on the Wednesday night, asked the pastor, how do we kind of readjust our view of ourselves? We're going to kind of start talking about it this morning. And we need to see ourselves as God sees us. Oftentimes we view ourselves from what we think people think about us, or we feel really bad about ourselves because of how we ourselves view ourselves. But number one, God views you as valuable in Luke chapter 12. God views you as very valuable. So Luke chapter 12, read verses 6 and 7 with me. Jesus is speaking, and he says, "Are not 5 sparrows sold for 2 farthings? And not one of them is forgotten before God. But even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows." And if you don't take time to stop and meditate about what Jesus is saying there, some of those thoughts kind of just fly right over our heads. So we're going to take some moments to meditate and talk about some of those words that are used. But question for you, and I do want some participation here, how does it make you fearful when you think that no one values you? You guys ever felt like that before, that you don't feel very important? So I want some participation. How does that make you fear when you feel like no one cares about you or values your opinion, when you don't feel important? How does that result in some fear? What are some things you fear about that? And I don't want you to think, because a command in that verse is fear not. So oftentimes we do fear because of how other people view us. How does it affect? What are some ways that you fear when no one values you? How does that, what's the result of that? Annika? Yeah, we fear that God views us the same way. That, hey, no one else cares about me. Why would God? What else?
Feel alone.
Yeah, you feel alone. You feel lonely. That, hey, I'm by myself. No one cares. What are some other fears you have? Jack?
I fear that we're just not good enough.
Yeah, you fear you're just not good enough. And maybe that overflows into your view of your salvation. You're unsure of your salvation because, hey, I'm not good enough. I'm not changed enough. I'm not. There's all kinds of things that this fear can bubble over. Jessica? Yeah, so often we fear to serve, excuse me, because we think we're not good enough. That, hey, other people don't value me. Why should I value me? Does God value my gifts? Should I even serve? There's a lot of things this fear can overflow into, and it does affect us. So when was the last time that you sat down and thought about, and I mean really thought about, sparrows? Anybody in here? Didn't think so. And the illustration that Jesus is using is sparrows. When it was snowing, I didn't sit there and think, man, I wonder if those sparrows got somewhere to go. It's really cold outside, right? We didn't think about that. When we think of sparrows, we think, hey, you know what, so what? I mean, they're just dumb birds. And really, we have the same view of sparrows as the people in Jesus' day. They didn't value them. 5 sparrows were sold for 2 farthings. That was the least valuable amount of currency, 2 copper coins in Jesus' time. So 5 of them were sold for very inexpensively. And when there was a tornado watch in Indianapolis a couple days ago, did you remember to think about the sparrows or any type of bird outside? No. I mean, we're not thinking about that. I thought, man, I hope my house, the trim doesn't fly off my house because there's a lot of wind outside. I'm thinking about myself and my shelter, my family. I'm not thinking about sparrows. And that's kind of Jesus' point. Hey, we don't think about sparrows. They're nothing to us. But you know what the Bible says? It says that not one sparrow is forgotten by God. God does think about them. So first principle under here that we're going to use to kind of springboard us, God will never forget about a single worthless, in our eyes, sparrow. Oftentimes things that we view as worthless, either that's, maybe it's a person. If you're honest with yourself, maybe you view another person as worthless, which that's a problem. We won't park there. Maybe it's a sparrow. Maybe it's a lot of different things. Things that we view as worthless. God wants to use that as a way to illustrate His deep care and concern for each and every one of us. Because we can be tempted to fear when we don't feel like we're important to God. And He wants to comfort us when we are feeling inferior and worthless. He wants to comfort us when we feel like no one values us or thinks we're important. He wants to comfort us when He wants us, when we think that everyone else has forgotten about us. Because we feel like that at times, don't we? Hey, you know what? No one cares. I'm forgotten. If I just didn't show up, no one would know. And when you value something, what do you do with it? When you value something, what do you do with it?
Take care of it.
I have an autograph, a rookie autograph from Sammy Sosa. He's a baseball player. It's pretty valuable. And I met him in person. He signed the rookie card, and he's now been caught for, like, using performance-enhancing drugs, so it's not as valuable, but I have it in a case. I want to protect it. I have a autograph from Tony Gwynn. He's a Hall of Fame baseball player. I met him. He signed a ball for me. I value it. I protect it. I put it in a case, and we study what we like as well, don't we? If you like basketball, you know a lot about the stats. If you like fashion, you know a lot about fashion. If you like art, you're going to study up and know a lot of things about art. And so the point that Jesus is making here is, how many of you, we'll back up a second, how many of you have pets? Anybody have pets in here? Yeah, how many of you keep your hands up? You have a dog. Nice, I like dogs. How many of you have cats? Boo. Cats are not my favorite thing. Yeah, some of you are like, ugh. But how many of you value your pet, right? When was the last time you sat down and you're like, oh, I love you so much, and you started counting all the hairs on the back of your pet?
Ew.
Yeah, ew, that's gross, right? If you value your pet, we don't count their hairs. I value my kids. I love my kids. Sometimes I go into their bedrooms at night, and it's kind of weird. It sounds creepy, but it's not. I just like look at them, and I'm like, man, these are my kids, and I smile, and I love them. But you know what? It would be weird if my wife walked in, and I'm like, leaning over Michaela's crib, and I'm like, I love you so much. 1, 2, 3, and like counting all of her hairs. That is silly and that is ridiculous to us, right? But Jesus, the master preacher and teacher, uses that as an illustration. God knows every small detail about you. He values you. He created you. He chose how many hairs are on your head. He chose how many hairs you lose off of your head. Mr. Barfield, sorry. So yeah, he's crying now. So he knows all about us. He knows every detail about us. And guys, a lot of you value your pets, but you don't go to that much detail. Knowing and studying them. God knows everything about you. And you know what that teaches us? It teaches us our second point this morning. God will never forget about a single eternally valuable individual. Jesus uses an insignificant illustration of a sparrow that God even cares about that smallest thing. How much more is he going to care for you because you are more valuable than many sparrows? So when you're tempted to the fear that no one thinks you're valuable, remember that God immensely values you. And what should our response to that truth be? Jesus gives us the answer in that verse in Luke chapter 12, verses 6 and 7. Fear not. Don't be afraid. Oftentimes we do fear what people think about us. We do fear how they view us, but we are not to fear because we can be certain in God's view of us that we are valuable to Him. So when you're afraid, when you feel like you're afraid because you feel like no one values you, remember that you're important to God. And what are some times that we are tempted to feel like we're not valuable to people? A little bit different. When are some times that we tend to feel like that? So when do we need this truth? That's what I'm trying to get at. When are you tempted to feel like no one cares? Yeah.
When we mess up.
So when you mess up, you need this truth. Hey, you know what? I'm important to God. God cares about me. Even if I mess up, He's not going to view me as any less. What are some other times we're afraid that people view us less? Yes. When no one listens to you. You know what some promises God gives us in Scripture? He always hears. He hears us. We can pray because He will listen to us. We are valuable. He will always stop what He's doing and listen to you. Even if people don't. Yes?
When other people treat you like you're worthless.
When other people treat you like you're worthless. And let's be honest, does that happen? Yeah, sometimes it's on purpose, sometimes it's on accident. But sometimes people do. And we can go back to the fact that, hey, you know what? I am so valuable to God that He bruised His Son and it pleased Him to bruise His Son in my place. Last one, Caleb.
When you're alone,
when no one else is there, when maybe your friends have left, when we're afraid because we feel like we're alone, no one cares. Remember that you are immensely valuable to God. So we need to use those truths, those thoughts that God thinks towards us to conquer fear. Because oftentimes we fill our heart with fear about what people think about us. I need to fill my heart with courage because of what God thinks about me. Replace what's going on in our heart. Now, the world will tell you that the most important thing in the world is to love yourself, right? Have you guys ever heard that before? You just got to love yourself. That's the most important thing. Is that scriptural? No. The most important thing is not that I love myself. The Bible assumes that I already do. It never commands me to love myself. Why? Because I already do. Love others as you already love yourself. We look out for ourselves. We look out for number one. We love ourselves. So my stability and my security does not come from how I view myself. My stability comes from how God views me. And that may go against some things that you've heard in media or in the world. The world says, you've just got to love yourself. And you know what? We all do. The Bible says, no man yet hateth his own flesh. And my security, even practically, doesn't come from the fact that I love myself. If I love myself but everybody else hates me, I'm still going to be insecure. My security, my stability comes from the fact that God loves me and I'm valuable to Him no matter what. We all love ourselves probably too much at times. It is comforting to know that someone else loves us and values us. And so guys, we got to get this. The most powerful being in the universe loves you and values you. Even if someone else on this planet doesn't, God loves you and values you. He's not forgotten even when you feel like other people in this world have. God thinks about the sparrows. They never cross our mind, but they cross God's mind. He created them, and He created you, and He knows everything about you. So when you're tempted to be afraid that no one cares or no one values you, you are important to God. Turn to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verses 15 and 17. We have to quickly move through this as well. Romans 8, 15 through 17 says this. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. God views you as his child. You do not have to fear the consequences of being a slave. You do not have to fear the consequences of being a slave. So I'm going to explain that. Paul gives a very obvious contrast in these two verses. He's talking about a slave and a child. A slave is treated very differently than a child, isn't he? Rand Hummel says it this way: when you trusted Christ and Christ alone for your salvation, you did not receive any type of spirit that would make you feel like you were in bondage to any set of rules or regulations that you knew you could never keep. So let's be honest, guys. Have you ever had this thought? Man, now that I'm saved, I can never keep all of this list of rules, all these do's and don'ts that the Bible gives me. And we start to feel like, hey, you know what? I'm in bondage to all these rules and regulations. How many of you have ever had that thought? I'm going to raise my hand. I have. I can't do this. And if we're all honest, we probably have had that thought and we think, you know what? This is too much. I can't. And we tend to skip over words when we read the Bible. So I'm going to ask you to meditate with me for a couple more minutes. And we're going to pause and think about some words. Put yourself in the position of a slave. When I meditated on these two words in this verse, it really brought it to life for me. Put yourself in the position of a slave. What would be some things that you would be afraid of as a slave in relationship to your relationship with your master? What are some things that you'd be afraid of? Yeah. Of dying? Okay, master may not like you. They may execute you. Back in this time, that could have happened. That's happened in history before. What are some other things you might be afraid of? Yeah.
Abuse.
That, hey, if I mess up, I'm going to get abused. I'm going to get hurt. I'm going to get punished. I'm going to get misused. What are some other things you might be afraid of? Yeah.
Failure.
Hey, if I don't keep up, again, if I mess up, they're going to disown me. And guys, maybe for them, a slave didn't have a place to live unless a master gave it to them. And all of a sudden, if you fall out of disfavor with your master, they're going to cast you aside and throw you away, and you don't have a home anymore, right? Those would be some fearful thoughts. But if you correlate that to your Christian life, oftentimes we have those same thoughts towards God, don't we? That, hey, if I mess up, he's going to cast me aside. Hey, if I mess up, he's going to punish me. Hey, if I mess up, maybe he'll kill me. Maybe he'll take my life. And Paul is using a contrast here. He's like, you know what? Don't think that way. You are not, once you're saved, you are not a slave to this list of rules. Don't have that spirit of bondage. You don't have to be afraid that God is going to cast you aside. Do you ever feel that way in your relationship with God? Because the Holy Spirit is comforting us with this verse. When you have those thoughts that, you know what, God, if I mess up or step out of these bounds, God is going to hurt me or punish me, you are having an incorrect view of God. You are not viewing yourself as God views you. God doesn't want you to be afraid like a slave. He wants you to be comforted like a child. You don't have to fear the consequences of being a slave, but also instead, you can enjoy the benefits of being God's child. What's he talking about? We have fears that come into our hearts all the time. When you mess up, you don't have to fear being cast aside like a slave. You can enjoy the confidence knowing that God is going to forgive you. He's going to welcome you back into a relationship with him. He's not going to push you away. And guys, if you have a loving parent, you know that your parents are going to do that. No matter how big you mess up, you are always going to be your parents' child. And if they love you and care for you, they're going to bring you back home. Now guys, let's pause and think about another word that's used in this verse. He says, you know what? You're not a slave, but you've been given the spirit of adoption. So put yourself in the position of a young child who's not adopted. He's in an orphanage. What do you think some fears that child would have? Yeah, Josiah. I'm never going to get adopted. I'm never going to have a family. I'm going to be left here alone. Yeah. Being unwanted. Can you imagine feeling that way? That, hey, no one wants me. All these people come through to check out, to look for children to adopt, and they never choose me. That would make you pretty fearful, right? What else? What are some other fears you may have? We'll take one more. Yeah.
Never being loved.
No one is ever going to care for me. No one is ever going to love me. And God says, don't think of yourself as a slave. Think of yourself as a child. Now, what would be some of the joys of that same child being adopted? Happiness. I mean, all of a sudden, that fear of, hey, you know what, no one's ever going to love me. What are some other joys of being adopted for that child? Joe?
Acceptance.
Acceptance. Yeah. Having a family that loves you. And oftentimes, we fear that, can you imagine the thought of that child? You know what? This person chose to love me and care for me. You know what the Bible teaches? That God chose to love you and care for you no matter what. You are given the spirit of adoption. Children with loving parents are motivated to obey because they want to, not because they have to. And when you're tempted to fear, when you're tempted not to obey, you're tempted and afraid of punishment, remember these truths. God cares you. You are immensely valuable. And you can go to Him and say, Abba, Father. You are adopted into His family. When you feel inferior, remember that God views you as important. Don't view yourself as you think others do. Don't view yourself as you fear other people may. God promises to view you consistently. Be encouraged, you're a child of God. So in conclusion, often we fear what other people think about us, don't we? We're afraid of that, especially as teenagers. It can cause a lot of insecurity. As a result, we view ourselves from the wrong perspective. God promises to consistently view you with love and with value. So guys, God's perspective is the right perspective. Make sure when you're tempted to feel inferior, you think of yourself as God does, because we never have to fear what God thinks about us. He tells us in His Word. He promises to value us, and He promises to listen to us and to choose to pour His love out on us. When fear creeps in, take those two truths and run with them and find security. Father, we come to You and thank You that You are a God of love, that You value us, that You give us security, and that You've adopted us. You've chosen to pour out Your love when so easily You could have turned Your back on us. And Father, we thank You that we have not been given the spirit of slavery, but of adoption, that we are Your child, and at any moment we can cry to You, and You will listen. You are our Father. And Lord, we thank You for that. Pray that these truths would change our hearts, help us to live a secure and fearless life. In Christ's name, amen. All right, if you could put chairs away, that'd be helpful. Thanks, guys.